Hello and welcome to Whence Came You, a Freemasonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. I'm your host, Robert Johnson, a York Rite Mason and Knight Templar. Well, I hope you all had a great weekend. This week I wanted to start off with a Grand Lodge spotlight. This week we are going to feature the Grand Lodge of Connecticut. First, I wanted to mention an awesome fact about the Connecticut Grand Lodge. There are actually two Grand Lodges in Connecticut. The first styled AF and AM, and the second is Prince Hall Grand Lodge, F and AM of Connecticut. They were the first two such Grand Lodges sharing the same jurisdiction to agree on a mutual recognition and visitation. They now enjoy some dual memberships and even joint degree work by dispensation such as would be required with any other grand jurisdiction. The Grand Lodge of Connecticut. The lodges which formed the first Masonic convention in Connecticut, whose delegates took the first preliminary step toward establishing the Grand Lodge, were the following. Hiram at New Haven, St. John's, Middletown, St. John's, Fairfield, St. John's, Hartford, St. John's, Norwalk, King Solomon's, Woodbury, St. John's, Stratford, Compass, Wallingford, Union, Danbury, Worcester, Colchester, St. Paul, Litchfield, and King Hiram Derby. Some of these lodges have kept their records in a good state of preservation from their first organization, which enables us to give the following brief sketch of their early history. From others, we have found no records earlier than the formation of the Grand Lodge, and all the knowledge we have of their previous existence is derived from the fact that they were represented in the Convention of Delegates at the time the Constitution was adopted. Connecticut Grand Lodge also is actively involved with Masonic education. The efforts of the Committee on Masonic Education bring the lessons, history, and values of Freemasonry to every Mason who attends Lodge. As such, it emphasizes the moral teachings which build better men and make for a better world. The Connecticut Freemasons Foundation provides a conduit for donations to be collected and funneled to various deserving charities. It also builds an endowment fund whose income can complement and supplement the charitable endeavors of the Grand Lodge of Connecticut. The foundation was organized 12 years ago for the purpose of supporting philanthropic pursuits beyond care of the elderly, so ably done by Masonic Care and the Masonic Charity Foundation. Freemasonry is the oldest fraternal organization in the world. It is dedicated to promoting improvement in the character of its members. A Mason is taught to be a good citizen, to be of good character, to care for those less fortunate, and to give back to his community. The Masonic fraternity contributes over $1 billion each year to its philanthropic pursuits, with over $750 million of that in the United States. And again, that is directly from the Grand Lodge of Connecticut's website. Now I want to take a moment to mention our Android and Apple apps, aptly titled, Whence Came You? One is on the Amazon.com Android market, and the other is available through the Podcast Box app, which is a podcast application for Apple devices, which you can get in the App Store. Once inside that app, you search Whence Came You and make a one-time in-app purchase of $2. All proceeds get filtered back into the show. I make nothing. All of it goes to hosting at this point. Also, if you want to help out but don't want to spend any cash, check out Stitcher Smart Radio, available on all mobile devices. Search for the show and use promo code Whence Came You with no spaces. And the folks over there will know that you came to Stitcher to hear our show and subsequently send us a dollar. I also want to say thanks to a few brothers out there who volunteered their help in creating some license-free tunes for the show, as well as others that offered ideas and websites via Facebook. I appreciate all your help. Next, I have a paper from Australia. The title and who it references, I cannot say aloud. Any Freemasons listening will know who I speak of, and if you don't, then it might be time that you ask one to be one. I will be replacing all references to the name with the words Mr. Black. Sorry to go all Reservoir Dogs on you. It's just the easiest thing to do, and still bring you a cool paper. The paper will be available on the app as well, but will reflect the name swap out as well. So without further ado, from the NSW Freemason, December 1992, Australia, The Art of Mr. Black, Masonry and Metallurgy. We, as Masons, know Mr. Black is depicted as a blacksmith. We do not know when he lived, but probably in the days when primitive man used tools of stone or flint to work naturally occurring pieces of gold, silver, copper, and meteoric iron into weapons, tools, and ornaments for use in war or peace. At some stage, man utilized fire to liberate metals from their ores, and there came that magic moment some thousands of years ago in Mesopotamia when copper ores, bearing tin, were smelted. The first alloying of metals launched the Bronze Age, a great step forward in this ascent of man. This early metallurgy promoted the first explosion into international trade as bronze coinage formed a novel means of exchange, and the cradle of civilization in eastern Mediterranean area thus spread to Europe. There is a definite metallic streak running through our masonry. We were divested of money and metallic substances even before we entered the lodge. In the sectional lectures, there is a strong allusion to extractive metallurgy with the mention of chalk, charcoal, and clay as the emblems of freedom, fervency, and zeal. Clay is our Mother Earth, providing both the metals and the refractories to contain them at high temperatures. From charcoal, we derive the heat energy to smelt and refine them, and from chalk, the flux to alloy with the gang and separate it from the ore. What of metals today? My career as a metallurgist has embracing the casting, working, and fabrication of metals, and today readers may be interested in a short description of the five principal methods of shaping metals. First, casting involves making a mold, a cavity, of the shape required in a plastic material, usually sand, and filling it with liquid molten metal. It constitutes the foundry industry. 2. Working, including forging, rolling, extrusion, rod and wire drawing, and pressuring in many ways, both casting and forging to shape date from the days of Mr. Black. 3. Machining is only about 200 years old. Generally, it includes turning, boring, milling, shaping, and grinding, and is a finishing process for work pieces first cast or wrought to a rough shape. 4. Fabricating by assembly and joining, such as bolting and riveting. The Sydney Harbor Bridge is a good example. Welding and brazing and soldering. 5. Power metallurgy is a spectacular development of the last 50 years and involves the compacting of metal powders in a die, followed by sintering at high temperatures to crystallize them into union. Many parts can be produced by mass production methods ready for use without machining. If Mr. Black were the first artificer in metals, his disciples today are known as tool engineers who provide the expertise to design and devise the machines, methods, and tools to be used. It is not surprising that nearly all the working tools presented to us in craft degrees are essential tools for the fabrication of metals. One cannot imagine a tool engineer without the benefit of the pencil and the rule and the square and the compasses. Metals run like shining threads through the whole tapestry of human history. Besides the invention of the coin age, they have played a critical role in the invention of printing, the harnessing of steam and the internal combustion engine, the discovery and use of electricity, the achievement of powered flight, and the advent of nuclear energy. The art of Mr. Black, now called metallurgy, is unfolding the secrets of nature and science. The grand architect of the universe provided the materials in the firmament, and man's inspired fashioning of them by tools is, I hope, stamping our work divine. So I hope you all know who I was referring to. And next is an update or correction. Some time ago, I listed and did a piece on Eddie Murphy as being a famous Freemason out of Hollywood Lodge number 542. Well, so did a friend and brother, John Paul Gomez of Fraternal Ties. John Paul did some digging and found out that he and the rest of us actually confused Eddie Murphy for Audie Murphy. So Eddie Murphy is not a Freemason. So just the same, let's give Audie Murphy his due. This week's famous Freemason is Audie Murphy. Audie Murphy, June 20th, 1924 to May 28th, 1971. Audie Murphy was the most decorated U.S. combat soldier of World War II. After the war, he moved to Hollywood. His first starring role came in 1949 released film called Bad Boy. He went to star in 44 feature films over the next 25 years. His 1949 autobiography To Hell and Back was a bestseller. Murphy starred as himself in the 1955 film version, which held the record as Universal's highest grossing picture until 1975, when it was finally surpassed by Jaws. He was also a successful thoroughbred and quarterhouse racehorse owner and breeder, having interests in such great horses as Depth Charge. Audie Murphy wrote some poetry and was quite successful as a songwriter. In an effort to draw attention to the problems of returning Korean and Vietnam veterans, Audie Murphy spoke out candidly about his personal problems with PTS, then known as battle fatigue. During 27 months in action in the European theater, he received the Medal of Honor, the U.S. military's highest award for valor, along with 32 additional U.S. and foreign awards, medals, ribbons, citations, badges, etc., including 5 awards from France and 1 from Belgium. Murphy's successful movie career included To Hell and Back 1955, based on his book of the same title in 1949. He died in a plane crash in 1971 at the age 46 and was interred with full military honors in Arlington National Cemetery. A quick note, I'd like to say, check out The Midnight Freemason on the 24th of August in 2012 for a special interview I did with a very hip Master Mason. Links to that are going to be on the website, or you can just type in www.midnightfreemason.blogspot.com. Also, I wanted to say the bonus material for the video from episode 55 is working now, so you can check out some artwork from the Brotherhood Center in the World's Fair. Check it out. And that's it for this week. Remember to visit the website, wcypodcast.com, for links to everything about the show, including our Facebook and Twitter page, and just about every other facet of online social media there is. Remember, The Midnight Freemason on the 24th will be a piece from myself. Check out the Android and Apple apps, as well as Stitcher Smart Radio. Use the promo code WhenceCameU with no spaces when you register, and they send the show some hosting money. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and have a wonderful week. Until our next dated, for WhenceCameU, I'm Robert Johnson.